Today on the Inland Journal podcast, researchers around the country are finding there are often links between socioeconomic status and health. Families with more means are able to afford better quality food, for example, and to have better recreational opportunities. Families with fewer means often live in areas where they don't have access to fresh, high-quality food, and often their diets are, by economic necessity, higher in carbohydrates, fats, and calories. WSU researchers recently released a study that reinforces some of those points. They collected basic demographic data about children in the Spokane School District, heights and weights, and the percentages of children in each school who qualify for free and reduced price lunches. And they made some extrapolations based on their analysis. Pablo Monsivais is an associate professor in WSU's Nutrition and Exercise Physiology program in Spokane. He's one of the lead authors of the study.
So obesity, we know, is a major public health problem in the United States, and about 40% of adults are obese. The percentage is less in children, and there's national figures on obesity in children, but we didn't really have detailed information on our local kids here in Spokane. So this study wanted to look at that in our Spokane public elementary schools. And we have a really unique opportunity to study this because our local public school district, District 81, collects detailed health information from our elementary school children from grades kindergarten through sixth grade. And as part of that, they measure their heights and weights. So that provided the data that we were able to analyze on how many of our kids have healthy weight, how many are overweight, and how many are obese.
And so you just used heights and weights. Was there anything else that you got from them?
Yes. Well, from the kids, we have information on their age and gender, and we know what schools they go to. So with this data, what it allowed us to do was to study how healthy weight and overweight and obese varied among schools in our district, and also how the percentage of kids who are obese varied in relation to some of the school characteristics, but also how the percentage of overweight kids and obese kids related to the neighborhood characteristics. And we wanted to look at all those things together because we know that obesity is a complex problem that has complex causes. So we know that it can be caused individually just by having energy imbalance, too much energy in, not enough energy out. We know that's the case. But those patterns are driven by larger social and environmental factors that happen at the family level, at the community level, and even at higher levels. So by measuring having data on the heights and weights of the children, and also linking that to the school profile and the community profile, we're able to kind of look at how these things relate to each other.
So you probably had a hypothesis going in based on what others have done here. So what were some of those things you expected to see?
So one of the things we expected to see was we did expect that the percentage of kids in who are overweight and obese would be lower than, say, what we see for adults. And that was true. We've seen the Spokane Public Health District has published data on percentage of adults who are overweight and obese, and our numbers did come in lower. We also expected for there to be some social differences in the percentage of kids who are overweight and obese. In particular, we know from lots of studies across the whole United States and even beyond that obesity tends to be found more commonly in people with fewer resources. So people with less income and less wealth and less education, those people tend to have higher rates of obesity. So we've expected to see something like this. And one of the ways we're able to study that in this study was to look at schools based on the percentage of kids who qualify for free and reduced meals, because that's a marker of family income. So schools that had higher rates of free and reduced meals are essentially schools that serve families with low incomes. And so we found our headline findings actually were kind of good news, bad news. So overall, we found that the percentage of kids who were obese in our Spokane Public School District was about 15.5% of kids obese. And that's quite a bit lower than national statistics. So nationally in the United States, about 18.5% of kids of elementary school age are considered obese, and we only found 15.5%. That's the good news part. The bad news is that when you look at the schools in relation to their income level, our schools in Spokane that serve low-income families had prevalence of obesity of nearly 20%, whereas the more affluent elementary schools had a prevalence of obesity of about 9%, so roughly half of the rate of obesity compared to the lower income schools. Again, that chimes with what we see with other data, that when you look at lower income groups, you have higher rates of obesity. So what we were surprised by was that gap, that inequity in obesity was so big. I mean, having a doubling of the rate of obesity is kind of a big difference. So that was kind of surprising and also discouraging. The other thing I guess I might add is that one of our findings was that the group of schools that had the highest rates of obesity, apart from being the ones serving the low-income families, those schools were surrounded by heavy arterial traffic. So those elementary schools tended to have major arterials with heavy motor vehicle traffic around them. That could be part of the reason why we see what we're seeing, because schools with those kinds of neighborhood surroundings, I mean, thinking about parents and what they would want their kids to be exposed to, I don't know who would want their kids to be walking around the streets around really busy, high-trafficked roads. So there are some issues here that I think might be part of explaining why we found what we found, but also these are opportunities to look at how we design our traffic, you know, plans and how we zone our city environment, that we might think about the impact that those decisions have on the health of people in our communities.
What were some of the big reasons why you think those folks in those neighborhoods of lower economic income, why their children are more likely to be obese?
Yeah, that's a question I wish our study could have addressed directly. We didn't really have the information available to look into that more closely. But from what studies that I've done in the past and others have done as well, indicate that there is a number of reasons that income is so closely linked to obesity rates. One of them is that essentially income is just a marker of resources. And when you have fewer resources, study after study shows that it's just harder to live a healthy life. Living a healthy life takes money, takes time. You've got to know a lot of things. You've got to have skills. And you've got to have some stability in your life. And when you don't have resources or don't have, for example, stable employment or stable housing, that has a lot of consequences for your ability to basically carry on your life in a way that allows you to have healthy habits. And unfortunately, that can affect the kids in our families too. So the parents, we know parents are always trying to do the best for their kids, but there's limits to what can be done when you're faced with limited or uncertain income, or if your employment is not stable, or if your housing situation is not stable.
So where would be the logical next step where would you go from here in this study?
Well, this is a case where I think our study, I hope that one of the things our study does is provide some kind of baseline information about how we're doing here in Spokane. Because like I said, there is a good news part of that. I think overall we're looking pretty good compared to national patterns. And there are some great things happening in our community that I think could help encourage healthy living and healthy weight. For example, the Spokane Regional Health District, working with our public school districts, has a program to promote a fun and safe ways for kids to walk to school. Like one example is called a walking school bus, where they gather up kids the way a bus would pick up kids on a route. They have there's a walking route, and there's a parent who or another person, an adult who's a leader, and they go by door to door and pick up all the kids on their way, and kids love it. And it's a good way to get into the habit of walking to school, and you pick up some extra activity like that, and that's good both immediately. It also can instill lifelong habits. The Spokane Public School District also has a lot of programs to promote healthy eating in the school's food service program, and also summer food programs to enable our lower income kids to access healthy foods during the summertime, when many of them would lose the opportunity to eat healthfully during the summer period. Schools, unfortunately, may be the most healthy meals they ever get to eat. And there's many other programs. Apart from that, the city, by promoting things like walkable and bikeable neighborhoods, those kinds of policies are going to have a outsized impact on our lowest income community members, because they will disproportionately be walking and taking the bus to get from place to place. So these are all things that I think can be, that are positive indicators of what's going on that could actually be addressing this. And I think by monitoring the weight of our children and looking at how we can make some changes and some improvements, we can start to see what kind of decisions we're making that are going to pay off for our kids' health and also set them on the path for healthy adulthood.
Do you see going back every year or two and taking that same, I guess, the updated information you get from the schools and doing this again so that you have kind of a trend line?
That's a perfect idea. In fact, that's exactly what we're thinking. This data that we use for this study was from 2017, but because the school district collects the data every year, that gives us exactly the opportunity to do to follow the trends over time and see what we're doing that might be making a positive difference.
So I have no doubt that you've talked with school district officials about the results of this. What have they said about it?
It's still kind of early. We just the paper that this research paper, it just came out last week, and so what we're hoping is to have a conversation that can actually lead us to do what we can to support any health-related initiatives they might have, and also even just monitoring the data as we've talked about. I think it's hard to really make. I don't know who said it, but there's this quote out there that says it's hard to really make an impact on something if you're not measuring it. So we hope that this is a real opportunity to do that, and we'd love to work with the school district and the local public health district to really make a positive impact on child health.
Pablo Monsivais is an associate professor in WSU's Nutrition and Exercise Physiology program in Spokane. He's one of the lead authors of a new study that concludes elementary-age children in Spokane public schools are more likely to be obese if they live in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods. Thursday on Inland Journal, we look at the vocation of physician assistants. The University of Washington has trained PAs for 50 years. It held its latest graduation ceremony for its Spokane students last week. We'll talk with the program head in Spokane and one of the graduating students. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Your comments and story ideas are always welcome at inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.